Welcome back to Dear Skylar, where I talk to all kinds of incredible people about topics that I'm asked about as a transgender educator and activist. Things like mental health and sports, race, sexuality, of course, gender, and so many things in between and beyond. Today, we'll be talking about something that I'm asked about probably most frequently, especially in the past couple years, trans athletes. You probably know that there are many bills trying to ban trans people from competing in sports that align with their gender identities. Many of the conversations around these topics are incredibly charged and difficult and painful. Several of my episodes here on Dear Skylar have focused on trans athletes, and today we're going to address the following question. Must trans athletes choose between their identities and their sports? To discuss this, I spoke with my friend and trans athlete, Angel Flores. Angel, I'm really pumped to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here today.
No, hi. Thank you so much for having me. I when they emailed me, I was just ecstatic. Oh. I was like, oh, wow, he's actually making a podcast? Absolutely.
Yeah. We first got connected a year ago. We were trying to figure out exactly how much time, but a year ago doing a panel about trans athletes. And I've always been so happy to connect with other trans athletes because it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of us, despite the fact that there's hundreds of bills trying to criminalize us or exclude us. There's actually not a whole lot of us. So it's awesome to share space with you.
That's what I always say. It's like, wow, you would think that there's so many more of us to make friends with. And I can barely connect with what the three people that exist exist in my area, you know?
Like, yeah.
Even finding people that want to come in and train and trans people who want to come in and learn how to perform in sports. It's almost impossible.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll go into plenty of these topics.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so much to say about it. For anybody who doesn't know who you are, who maybe only saw you on Queer Eye or didn't even see you on Queer Eye, they should go see it. But I'm curious if you could do a quick intro, name and pronouns, and then a little bit about who you are.
Absolutely. So my name is Angel Joy Flores. My pronouns are she, they, and I am what am I right now? I am a coach, an athlete, still an activist, and ultimately a trans person trying to find her little way in this wide, wide, oftentimes stressful world. but most of my focus recently has been inspiring the people around me and really just getting trans people back through the doors into the gym. You know, I've done a lot of things over the last year and starting to refocus and find my own space in this little industry that we're in. Yeah. has been a nice little adventure.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed, learning about you and following you. To be quite honest with you, I hadn't heard of you before our panel together. The reason is that I don't watch TV. I'm sorry. I have watched your episode since we met, but before we had met, I hadn't actually known much about you because I didn't watch TV. So you were on Queer Eye. It was an incredible episode where they talk. You know, you go through as standard episodes go through your makeover and then also. Sort of like a personal makeover, if you will, but the part I have to tell you, I had to watch it in pieces because of the parts about your dad. I couldn't. I was like sobbing.
Oh, I hear you.
I couldn't. It was so emotional and so like I don't even know. Painful's not the right word, although there was pain and like grief in watching it. But anyways, I would love. We could talk about that all day, but I'm actually more excited to focus on sports with you for many reasons. But because I love following along on your Instagram, how much joy you have in sport, and that is so evident in how much you love what you do. And I love that you want to spread that joy to others. And so, right before we began this podcast, we started talking about getting people into the gym, and you were talking just now saying one of the things you want to do is get trans people into the gym. So I'm curious if you could start maybe with your journey when you got into the gym, when you started sports, and we can kind of go from there to wanting to spread it with other people.
Of course. I mean, I feel like a lot of us athletes have that same story of I've been playing sports my whole life. I swear I was like 5 years old and my dad was like, go play soccer, get out of the house. I don't want you sitting in the house all day. and so even as the little chubby kid who wasn't really athletic, my dad would definitely push me to be as athletic as possible and to compete in as many sports as possible growing up. By the time I was 12, he had hired a personal trainer for me. Wow. I was getting familiar with a barbell in my hands. I was learning how to run, learning how to jump, learning how to move. And ultimately, it all came together playing football in high school and realizing that, like, wow, I really love movement. I really love being on the field. I love competition. I love being known for being good at something, you know, especially when it comes to sports. And so kind of making a small name for myself in my school kind of pushed me to go into college and find a space that I could, you know, both show off how much I love what I do and how good I am at what I do. When it comes to the training I do now and the sports that I compete in and coach in now, the strength sports kind of came at me as a surprise. So after I finished high school football, I essentially went to college and became just your normal college gym rat. I have been struggling with a lot of, now I would call it dysphoria, right? But back then I was saying depression, anxiety, eating disorders, struggling with my body, struggling with how I felt in my body. And so naturally the solution that I came to in college was, okay, I struggle with my body, make my body look better. Let's get in the gym every day. So that was me every day, every morning, 2-3 hours, wow. Lift for an hour, run a mile, lift for another hour, wow. Every single day. It's a lot. It was a lot. And I look back now and I'm like, wow, that was a lot. I was doing a lot. But it really reinforced in me that, like, lifting is something that I know I can do. I know I'm good at, I know I can become good at, and I can train anything. Right. And that's one of the tenets that I follow now is I can do anything if I train for it. And so when it comes to the strength sports themselves, I kind of stumbled into a class, one day, essentially on my schedule, they needed me to take like a PE course at the University of Texas. And so I said, oh, there's an advanced weight training course. I wonder what that is. And I walked in thinking, oh, it's going to be squat, bench, deadlift. They're going to teach me how to, like, lift heavier and be safe while I do it. And then I walk in and the coach, who was the powerlifting coach at that time, ends up looking at us and saying, okay, so this is a snatch and this is a clean and jerk. And I was like, what is this? what are we learning right now? And so kind of stumbling into Olympic weightlifting was just this brand new, really, really novel experience for me. Learning that it's not just about raw strength, it's about technique, it's about mobility, it's about athleticism. It just became an addiction, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. Like I picked up a barbell and the first time that I ever smoothly got it over my head, I was like, I'm hooked. This is what I want to do. This is what I love doing. And so I competed with the University of Texas Olympic weightlifting team for about 2 years. And then I'd say right at like the height of where I could choose where my training was going, right? Like where I could choose, like, do I really want to focus up or do I want to let this go? That's when I came to the realization of, oh, I'm trans. Like this is a whole other thing. It was just this really pivotal moment of, yeah. Well, I could take this sport somewhere if I train really, really hard for the next few years. Mm-hmm. And then also sitting at home and saying, I don't feel right. Mm-hmm. I don't feel okay. I need to make a huge change and I'm not sure if I have the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. And so
different kind of strength there, huh?
Yeah. So it's a lot of strength here. Mm-hmm. And so essentially what ended up happening is I looked at the sport, I looked at myself and I said, I can put the sport down and transition. I can do that. I was fully aware of all the stigma and all the crap that we go through, as you well know. Sure. But for me, I settled on, this is something that I need. This is medical at this point. I transition and I take full hold of myself and I figure out who I truly am, or I struggle. And that struggle might not end in a win for me. And so I put the sport down. I retreated into COVID, luckily. Quarantine started. And so I was able to move into quarantine and start transitioning and let the hormones take effect. The cool experience I got from that was recognizing how much my body was just, I mean, decreasing everywhere. My strength, my speed, my agility, my endurance. I started taking hormones, and as soon as I got back into the gym after quarantine started letting up on us, once we were able to get back into the gym, I realized that every day I would come in and the numbers would drop. Every day I'd come in and the same weight that I was doing the day before, I mm-hmm. did not feel the same. It was mm-hmm. it was heavier. Every day was heavier. Every day was oof. Worse and worse and worse. I tell people that the day before I started hormones, I was power cleaning 225. Mm-hmm. And the day after, I couldn't even get it up to my shoulders. Like like the first day I was like, wow, I'm already feeling it.
Yeah.
So
well, people don't recognize testosterone blockers do that. They block testosterone.
Yeah. You wonder what testosterone blockers do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people really miss that. They're like, oh, well, what do they even do? And I'm like, well, they block the receptors from receiving testosterone. So you can't actually use it.
Absolutely. And as an athlete to come in and train the things that I've been training for years by that point, and to see my numbers decreasing, I think I saw like a 25-30% decrease across the board in all my numbers and all my strength. And to come in every day without having competition, without having a big goal in mind, and it's just to see my numbers drop and drop and drop, it definitely, I struggled a lot. And I had a coach in the gym that I was training out of, Liberation Barbell Club down in Austin. I had a coach that looked at me one day and said, you are directionless. You're training, but you don't know what you're training for. Mm. And so his solution, and it's to me, looking back, I'm always questionable about the solution, but his solution was, look, I understand you don't like the idea of a third category in sports. I understand that you don't want to be relegated as this other, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that all you want to do is exist amongst your peers and just be on the platform like everybody else. However, you're foregoing all of this progress you could be making. You're foregoing all this drive that you have, this urge to compete, this urge to get back into it, to avoid that feeling. And right, so he asked me one day, do you want to keep staying aimless in the gym, or do you want to just bite the bullet and stand in this third category and declare to the world that I am here, whether you want it or not? And so I remember January 1st, 2021, I went to the gym and we sat down and I said, I'm going to compete in the MX category in USA powerlifting. And then started my powerlifting journey. Yeah. Made the switch from Olympic weightlifting to powerlifting. Went from agility and weight over my head to squat, bench, and deadlift. Completely changed the entire gear of how I train and how I think about lifting. And just sat and thought about how I had to maneuver through this new sport, especially as a trans woman, especially as somebody who had been on hormones for a year and a half by that point. Who was coming back to competition and saying, I have seen my body basically feel like to feel like my body is degrading, you know, wasting away over the last few years, to feel my strength decrease. How can I maneuver this new sport with this brand new body, essentially, that I'm relearning how to use, relearning how to move in?
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I want to ask you a question about that, if that's okay. So absolutely. You were talking about strength decreasing, right? And first of all, I want to thank you for sharing all about yourself. I really appreciate getting a window.
I can ramble about this all day.
No. I love bearing witness to other trans people's stories, especially trans athletes, because I find resonance and also I learn. So thank you for sharing all of that. As you're talking about decreasing your strength, so as you know, and I think as listeners know, I'm a trans man, and so I did the opposite essentially of what you did, where I took testosterone and I watched as I went to the gym and my strength increased. Probably every single time I went to the gym, I felt stronger for a good amount of time, and that was awesome and the opposite of what you went through. And so as you were talking about the strength decreasing, you actually started by saying a really cool thing. I don't know if that was sarcastic or if that was intentional, but you were talking about how this was, this is part of your transition. And my assumption is that as a trans person, my assumption is that eventually was good. It felt good to have your body shift towards feeling more like yourself. And one of the common accusations of trans people is that, especially trans women, is that they transition in order to play sports. But I'm hearing as you're talking that it's actually quite the opposite, that there was actually not a benefit at all to transitioning. In fact, there was a clear and marked decrease. And I think weightlifting is one of the clearest numerical sports, maybe swimming similarly because it's, you know, times, but numbers, right? You can't argue with the fact that you like could do this weight and now you can't. So could you talk to me, or at the same time though, you still decided to do it. And it still, in my assumption, is improved your life. So can you talk a little bit about the, like, those two things happening at the same time, where you're experiencing this difficulty, you said struggle with your body, and at the same time you're growing into yourself. So how did those two things happen simultaneously?
There was I talked about a pivotal moment of thinking, do I have to choose between being who I am and being an athlete? Right. And
oof, that's a like, question. Yeah.
I played sports in order to transition. I played sports to live, right? Sports became my anchor, right? If I didn't have sports, I wouldn't be able to have done any of the things that I do now. And I wouldn't be able to be confident in any of the things that I do now. Sports have built me from the ground up. With so many changes in my body as an athlete, to see all my numbers decrease, to see all the progress I had made over the last few years slowly decrease, keeping sports around was the only thing that was keeping me sane at that point. Because with the world going crazy around us with COVID and not being able to see who the people that I love and not being able to do anything but go to the gym and go home. And to be at such an unstable point in my life where I'm anxious all the time, I'm dysphoric all the time, I'm struggling with my body. Sports and lifting just became the anchor that kept me going, even through all this loss. And that's what it was loss. I had the opposite experience of you. I was coming into the gym every single day and saying that weight feels heavy. Yeah. The amount of sessions that I took coming in, I would warm up, mm-hmm. and then my warm up would become my max out for that day. My warm up would be my RPEA, my heaviest lift for the day. And I'd realize, oh my God, I'm struggling with this. I'm decreasing. The amount of days that I had where I just put it down and went home were huge, right? The amount of days where I dropped the weight and I said, I'm done. I can't do this today.
But what went through your head when you like couldn't pick up the weight that you could before? You watched your body, you know, decreasing in strength, knowing it's from, right, it's not because you're not training hard enough, but knowing it's from the hormones and from your gender affirmation, right? What went through your mind in those moments where you're like, I just can't do this, and then you decided to go home?
It's that struggle of being who I am versus being an athlete, you know? Feeling like I was progressing in one direction, but regressing in the other, you know? Mm-hmm. To come in and to get frustrated at myself for not being able to lift the weight, and then to have somebody look at me and be like, don't you realize what you're doing? Like, look at yourself, go look in the mirror. And there was a moment too, where I went home one day and my partner at the time looked at me and said, okay, you had a bad day, but go look in the mirror, right? Go look in the mirror and look at yourself, go walk outside and see how everything feels. See how the sun feels in your skin. See how bright the freaking flowers look, you know?
That gives me goosebumps.
Oh my God. Like I talk a lot about how the very first day of hormones, I went to work and there were these bright orange flowers. And just that day, and from that day on, they were bright. They were shining in my face. They were like huge. And I was like, is this what it feels like to have my brain work the way that it needs to, right? Is this the way that it feels to be who I truly am? Mm-hmm. And so it's, to answer your question, what was going through my brain was that struggle of athlete versus person versus woman, right? Athlete versus like my medical needs. and having to go home and remind myself that this journey is difficult for me too, right? It's difficult for me, and it's difficult to reconcile that in my brain, but also to recognize that I was making progress regardless, right? Even if my numbers are going down, everything else is progressing. Everything else is going better. I'm feeling better day in, day out. And ultimately, I came to the conclusion of, it doesn't matter what my numbers are, as long as I feel good hitting them, as long as I feel good at the end of the day, as long as I walk into the gym and walk out knowing that I'm me, that I am Angel Joy Flotis, like that is who I am, that it won't matter what's on the barbell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oof. All of that, goosebumps. I love it. You know, it reminds me of actually my experience as well, where when I was competing in the women's side, I was very competitive. I was I was seeded to break records at school. My coaches wanted me to go to, you know, Olympic trials, maybe beyond. Like, I had very high expectations of myself competing in the women's category. And when I switched to the men's category, I knew I would start over, right? Yes, my strength would increase quickly by, you know, my transition and also by training. But I was behind, significantly behind, right? I was starting testosterone at age 19, whereas most mm-hmm. cis boys, quote, start testosterone, if you will, at whatever, age 13, when their bodies begin to change. Yeah. So I was, you know, a good 6 years behind. And I remember the first couple of years really like having these moments, like you said, of grief, where I was having so much progress. I did look in the mirror and finally saw myself. I remember sending a friend a Snapchat. It was me and, like, I don't know, late at night, and I sent a Snapchat and it said, "I think I'm finally starting to love myself." So that was happening while I was also losing for, you know, not the first time, but consistently more than I ever had before, right? And there was this tension. It wasn't regret, but it was a tension of athlete, like you said, and performance versus self. And it was really hard for me to distinguish between self and athlete and self and performance. And so I'm curious, in your life, you've also had to do that distinguishing so that you can also take care of yourself. How have you learned to do that?
Absolutely. And to really just round off what you said, there was a moment where I looked at it and I said, "This too shall pass," right? Like, this, like, I am making progress. There's a rock bottom here somewhere. Eventually I'm going to bottom out. Eventually the numbers will stop decreasing. Eventually I will be able to start increasing my numbers again. I will be able to start training hard again. And it was driving myself towards that point of, even if I'm starting over, at least I get to, right? At least I get to come in the next day and say, "My name is Angel and I'm going to lift." Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, having the support system around me at the gym, it's this hilarious little story. But the first day I went to the gym, all the men in the gym were staring at me. They were watching me lift and they're watching me get intense. And I was like, "What is happening? Like, is this not a safe space for me?" But a week later, the boss of the owner of the gym comes up to me and she's like, "You realize that they all look up to you, right? Because you walk in here every day exactly who you are. And you walk in here every day struggling, and they see you struggle. But they're rooting for you." And I thought, if they can root for me, if people that are seeing me actively start over can root for me, then why can't I root for myself? And so just to sit back and say, "This too shall pass. I will get there eventually. I will start over and it'll be okay to do so." It really changed my mindset on the whole thing.
Yeah. Oof, that really hit me. That made me emotional. If other people can root for me, why can't I root for myself? I think anybody can take that as advice, right? Why can't we root for ourselves? I also really loved your line. You said, "Even if I have to start over, at least I get to." And I might even say, like, what a blessing, right, for all of us to ever get to start over. And we don't actually have to have it be a transition that it, you know, invites us to start over. I think that's like a universal invitation for anybody to say any moment, like, maybe I should start over. Maybe I should shift. Maybe I should look at myself and be like, "Hey, look in the mirror and do I like what I see?" And not physically necessarily, just, you know, our experiences. Thank you so much for sharing all that, Angel.
Of course.
So I want to dig a little bit into sports stuff and, you know, the rhetoric and the media and stuff, because I know that there's a lot there. If I ask something you don't want to deal with, that's fine. Just say, "I don't feel like answering that." We won't put it in.
No, it's all the good stuff. I'm ready.
I figured you would be, which is why I have the questions prepared, but I just want to, you know, just want to make a caveat. So, as an openly trans woman, as an openly trans woman athlete, we know there are so many bills, right? For anyone who doesn't know, hundreds of bills that are trying to ban trans people from playing sports, specifically trans children, specifically trans girls. And you lived in the state with probably one of the most amounts of trans bills for a little while, Texas. I'm first just wondering how that's been impacting you, like, emotionally, the attacks specifically on trans girls and specifically trans women in sports.
It weighs extremely heavily. It weighs super heavy. It feels like, I try not to open Twitter anymore.
Yeah, me neither. I never do.
I'm trying to even avoid the news. I'm trying to avoid Google, because Google will, like, the algorithm will hit me and it'll be like, oh, you're trans? Here's all the new trans news. And so it's, especially recently, it's impacted me incredibly hard. Last year I spoke at a rally at the Capitol. I think it was over HB 25. It was one of the horrible bills. I'm pretty sure it was HB 25. And I had several trans high schoolers come up to me and, like, talk about how, like, they just want to be with their friends. You know, like, they're just trying, they're not trying to go out for records.
Yeah.
They're not trying to do anything to try and steal scholarships, even if they could get a scholarship, you know, they're just trying to play sports with their friends. And ultimately, like, a lot of these athletes are trans mask athletes. You know, a lot of these athletes that are being banned are trans mask athletes who honestly, like, don't get enough attention, period, already. Right.
And who are not so the trans women everybody is afraid is, quote, going to dominate, right? This whole rhetoric about, oh, it's, you know, because we want to protect the girls in the women's category. They're kicking us out of the category, or forcing us not to play at all. Anyways, it's fascinating. You're right.
Absolutely. And it's, for me, it was always like, have you ever trained alongside a trans athlete? Have you played a pickup game of any sort of sports with a trans kid? You know, have you gone to a game and watched one of these trans athletes come, like, just run around the court or the field or spend time on a powerlifting platform? And if you do, don't you see the happiness, right? I tell people all the time that, like, you aren't truly your athletic best until you accept who you truly are, right? And it goes for cis athletes too, but you see it the most in trans athletes who are finally able to accept who they are, and then all of a sudden they've never had a better time on the field, in the pool, on the platform, wherever they are, right? I've seen so many trans athletes, they start playing their sport and they're smiling huge, and they're overjoyed, they're going crazy, they're just so happy to be there, right? There's no, like, the competitive nature is just, like, a secondary thing. They're just happy to be in that space and to enjoy it and to be who they truly are, you know? And then to take that away, you know, to take that away from kids who are literally like, I want to go try out for basketball and make the team. Like, baseline, I want to go make the team. Yeah. Fine. Like, that should be okay. But for some reason it's not.
Yeah.
For some reason, we're demonized and villainized to not allow us to do that, you know?
And what they're really not allowing is fun. Like, I think that's like, absolutely. I think that's, to me, like, the most heartbreak. I mean, there's a lot of heart there. I don't know if most, right? All of it's heartbreaking. But if we get that at the core of stopping trans children from playing sports with their friends, what we're really stopping is trans kids from having fun. And beyond that, having access to their bodies. And like you said, people being able to be themselves, play the sports they love. They smile on the field. I smiled in the pool. Nobody even can see that. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's the core, is like this restriction, this banning of trans children and sports is really removing kids' access to their own bodies, which they're doing in other ways too, with gender affirming healthcare bans. But then fun, like, you know, like the sound of when you walk down the street and there's like a park nearby and there's the sound of kids playing and it's kind of like screaming and laughing in the distance.
Yeah.
My like dream for the future is hearing that sound and knowing it's trans kids playing too.
Absolutely.
And we're like criminalizing that. We're banning Absolutely. That. It's like, it feels like out of this world sometimes. How do you take care of yourself as you're watching this, especially again, as a trans woman, who, despite the fact that they are also banning trans men and trans masculine folks, the media focuses on trans women, as you know. And so I'm curious, like, how does that impact you online? What kind of, like, the DMs, the comments, your everyday life, you know, people saying stupid stuff to you, how does that impact you?
I try and, well, look, I deal with it how I deal with most things, and I just joke about it. First of all, I use humor to cope. But past that, it's most definitely, it's going back to my anchor, what I love doing. it's coming back into the gym, regardless of how I feel, regardless of whether I'm angry or sad or upset, and then putting some metal in my hands and saying, I know how my body works. Mm. I know that I have not only had my body degrade, right? Had to have felt my strength degrade over time, but to have also hit that rock bottom and to come back. I know I put in that work. I know that I've spent years training, just like every other athlete has, you know, just like every other athlete has spent years and years and years training. So have I. And it gets to me sometimes. We have a little local federation, little powerlifting federation here in Seattle, Rain City Powerlifting Union. And so at the, we had a rookie meet last October, and it was like a girls' gays and theys meet. It was like, hey, even if it's your first time powerlifting, come out and powerlift. And it was my fourth time visiting, and my friends had encouraged me, like, come stay on the platform. Your presence on the platform means a lot to these people. And I remember I've been doing this for years, and I won. I won my weight class. I lifted the most out of people in my weight class. And then even if it was a small number, and I remember going to my friends and saying, for some reason, I think I was just feeling anxious or dysphoric that day. And I came over and I said, don't give me the medal. I don't want to be celebrated for this. And my friend Liana, one of my closest friends here, she literally took me by the shoulders and shook me. And she was like, how many years have you been training? Mm. How many years? How many years have you been putting the work in to get to this point where you are now? And then she turned me around and she said, how many people do you think look at you and say, wow, I want to train to get to the point that she is. Mm. I want to train to get to her, to be her. They looked at me and they said, these people don't despise you for winning. They look up to you. You're influencing them to keep going, to keep training, to see something to work for, right? To see that this person has put in years and years and years of work and that they can do that too. Even if they're trans, even if they're non-binary, even if they come from an oppressed background, they too can train to be just as good as you are. So don't be awful to yourself for winning, because you put the work in. You've won. You put the work in.
I think that hits on such an important point, which is this concept that especially trans women athletes will say it in the crappy way that they say it is, quote, mediocre men, which trans women are not men, but for the sake of this argument, that they say that, and they say transition in order to win women's sports. And I've heard you talk about this before and respond to this argument, largely with what you just shared, which is what I always tell people, which is that these athletes are not coming out of nowhere. Also, most people could name like two trans women, maybe one trans woman who's won an international or national competition, right? Most people cannot name anybody, but if they can, they try to name Leah Thomas, or maybe they'll name Laurel Hubbard, right? But for the most part, they've got nothing. But their whole argument is that, so-and-so was terrible beforehand and now is winning in the women's category. And what I always tell people is, A, this person trained their butt off before and now, right? And even if they didn't train before, they're training now. And then secondly, what you just said, they're happy, right? And I know for me, like, mental health is a huge part of my ability to perform anywhere I am, whether that be in work. Absolutely. Or on the, in the pool, on the field, in my relationship, right? Like relationships. I think it's so important to consider that mental health is a part of this factor. So as you sort of were walking into, stumbling, if you will, into your own confidence, your own journey, learning it with Queer Eye, learning confidence with Queer Eye, how has your mental health improving? I'm gonna assume it's improved, but please tell me if I'm wrong. As your mental health has improved, how has that impacted sport and how you've walked through confidence and, all the things?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, show me a cisgender champion who doesn't have at least decent enough mental health to compete, to train well, because it's not just for us, it's for everybody, right? Everybody needs a strong mental health foundation to even be able to reach for the stars, much less stay disciplined and motivated every single day to do what they do. In regards to my mental health, it was really, I said, I, I trained to be able to transition and to be able to be comfortable with my body. And so my relationship with training evolved with my relationship with my body, and to take radical control of who I am and how my body works and how my body develops. That's the most powerful thing I've ever felt. Right. And then to round all it off with looking at my body at the end of the road and saying, I am who I am. And I found confidence in that. When I was growing up, I always looked for confidence in everybody else. Mm. I always looked for people to tell me, like, you're doing well. I'm proud of you. You're doing well. But the most important thing at the end of the day was me standing in the mirror, me standing there and saying, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of myself. You know, I'm proud of this path that I've taken to get to this point. Yeah. And yeah, like, it's real nice when the Fab Five are standing in the room and they're telling you how amazing you are. But I was never going to listen unless I was able to stand in the mirror and tell myself, right?
Right.
I can't hear everybody else saying it if I don't hear it for myself first. Mm-hmm. And that's the big point, you know. Yeah. As an athlete, you have to be able to recognize that you are putting the work in and you are disciplined and motivated. And some days you have bad days, but other days are really good days. And if you can just find a way to be proud of yourself and find a way to recognize that you are doing the best you can, you can win anything, right? You can train to anything. And that goes for everybody.
And what winning means can also shift, I think. You know, I think, you know, winning, of course, a tournament or a championship or a meet or what have you is awesome. And I'm not trying to downplay that at all. And one of the things that I found in my transition is there are a lot of different kinds of me feeling like I've won. And some of them require a first place next to my name, and a lot of them don't. And yeah. I think that understanding was really important to me. And it sounds like that's something that you also learned, because the numbers weren't the same as they were before. Mm-hmm. And that was an adjustment of not winning against yourself, but still winning against yourself. Right. And I think that that's such an interesting way of, I've just expanded that in my own brain. And it sounds like you have as well.
Absolutely. I mean, like, to be completely honest, I'm not an international competitor. I competed in plenty of meets, but I'm no international competitor. I'm 230, 240 pounds on a good day. There are cis girls who are several weight classes below me and a weight class above me that are lifting much more than I am and maybe ever will. And that's ultimately the truth of the sport. That's just the reality of the sport. And it's hilarious that people come at me for stuff like that, because I'm only lifting a little bit. This is a fraction of what these other girls are. What these other girls are knocking, these cis girls, these tiny little cis girls who are half my size, are knocking out of the park every single day. And so for me, it was, okay, I walked through the door. That's a win. I touched the barbell today. That's a win. I had a trans boxer come to me last week and say, I want to get back in the gym. I took a break from boxing because it wasn't friendly to me as a trans mass person. And so he looked at me and he was like, how can I make this easier on myself? And I pointed the door and I was like, you made it. You already did the thing. You're already here, right? You already made. That's a win just by itself. Mm-hmm. The next thing we do is touch the bar. Mm-hmm. The next thing we do is lift the weight. The next thing we do is come back tomorrow. Right. These are all wins that stack up. And eventually you get to the point where you can say, I can compete. I'm ready. I'm ready to get out there. I'm ready to try and make a name for myself.
Mm. I can see how you are made to be a coach, Angel. I'm feeling inspired as I'm sitting here. I'm like, I gotta go walk in the door now. I gotta go pick up the barbell. So you're doing a good job of inspiring. That's for sure.
Thank you.
I would love, as you were talking, you hit on my sort of one of my other questions, which is this concept that, of course, you know, trans women have some sort of advantage, that trans women are going to dominate, all those kinds of things, the common arguments. And you know that I don't believe any of those arguments. But for our listeners, for anybody who is still sitting here being like, but what about, you know, the fact that Angel might be bigger than other girls? As you just mentioned, there are girls that are smaller than you. I'm sure there's also girls that are bigger than you. There's lots of different sizes in any kind of demographic in any kind of category, right? And at the same time, there are girls who are stronger than you, even if they're smaller or bigger, it doesn't really matter. And you're not competing in international competitions. I don't want to have to qualify your fairness to compete by saying you're not good, because I think that's another way we do these conversations. But how do you interface with those arguments? I have my ways of conversing with people who don't think that, for example, you should belong in women's sports, but how do you talk about it?
Well, I mean, first of all, I always start off with come train with me. Come train with me. Like, come train with me. Go train with a trans athlete. Go train with a trans powerlifter. Go train with a trans weightlifter. And tell me that they don't put the work in. Mm-hmm. Tell me that they aren't good at what they do. When I switched to powerlifting, when I hit rock bottom and I had to build myself back up, I looked at the entire process and I said, I'm not going to be strong. I'm going to be skillful. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use my body to the best that I can to lift this weight in the most skillful way that I can. I'm going to use my leverages and figure out what my body can do best in order to maximize the amount of weight that I can lift. And that rephrasing of how I treat sports, it's not brute strength, it's skill. It's really what impacts, right? You can't just walk up to a platform and pull the weight. And like, it's funny because they talk about testosterone, like it's that. You can just walk up to anything and pull the weight. That's not true. Right. Even if you are in a testosterone focused body, like, you can't just walk in any given day and just yank it off the ground and say, oh, look, I can do that now. Yeah. I can break records now. No, you have to train and practice and be good. Yeah. And every single person that has ever had doubts but has come trained with me has changed their mind. Mm-hmm. And I can sit on that and say that's true. Yeah. Every single person that came in and said, well, maybe they see that I move deliberately. They see that I've worked my way into creating processes for me to be able to be good at this, right? Trained myself into a position where I don't have to be strong. I just have to be good at it. And that's a huge difference. That's a huge difference.
Hey, there's a lot of people who are strong and not good at it, right? There's a lot of people who are stronger than me and slower than me in swimming, though, right? I think that, you know, it's also, I think what you're talking about is the core of it. You have to train to be good at something. And a lot of, and this is where straight up misogyny comes into play, where a lot of men, mostly cis men, believe that they're automatically going to be better than any person assigned female at birth at sport. Yeah. Just because they've been assigned male at birth. And they believe this even from childhood, right? And I think that's fascinating because there are no biological differences that are important in sports until you hit puberty, right? And even in swimming, like, the qualifying times for girls are faster than boys up until the age of 11 or 12 because girls are socialized to pay attention and follow rules. But I just think it's such a key thing that people forget is that you actually do have to train, and not every, you know, person assigned male at birth is automatically going to be better than people who have trained for years, right, to be great at a sport, who have been assigned female at birth.
Absolutely. And it's the misogyny really just like, it's hilariously blatant, you know, women are lesser, women are weaker, women can't do the things that we can do, which is simply not true. I've seen so many girls that are more skillful than the best of the men. Just because the numbers are greater does not mean they're better at the sport. It's really about the skill, and it's really about how do you move and how do you focus and what do you do outside of training? How do you compete? Where's your mental state at? There's so many other things that are factors in this equation that aren't just strength, total strength.
Right. Or gender assigned at birth.
Absolutely. And to erase that from the equation is really misogynistic. It's basically misogynistic.
And just, it's incomprehensive, it's misogynistic, it's ignoring of the facts, I think it's irresponsible. And I think that's what the conversations that I have with people, you know, I can't use the same tactic that you do. I love the tactic that you have, which is come train with me, right? I can't necessarily use that tactic. So I usually try to use facts, but just like, you know, science and studies and what have you. But people often are riddled with so much just straight up misogyny and lies, right? Propaganda. They've digested absolute lies. Even people who want to be allies, who are my friends, who've come up to me. And I think that's why I'm so glad that you're out there and you know, sharing your journey and your story with the world to provide some truth and some humanity about who you are and who, you know, a trans woman could be, because that's missing. It's totally missing from the rhetoric. Most of these people that are voting for the laws or making the laws have never met a trans person, much less a trans athlete, because there aren't that many of us, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you could, this is sort of the ending question I want to ask you. If you could sit in a room with Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott, you know, and have conversations with them. Maybe not those two specifically, because I'm not sure you could, but pretend if you could have a conversation, what would you want to leave them with?
That's hard, because I have a lot of words for those two.
Let's try with you can give me the spicy answer if you want, but maybe the spicy plus the substance.
we can leave the spicy out. Really, it's, I mean, look how much knowledge I've gathered, right? I can look how many people I've taught to do what I do. Look how much knowledge I've gathered to make myself good, and how much I pass it to everybody else. And tell me that knowledge doesn't affect how I train and whether I have an advantage or not in sports. My advantage is that I'm smart. My advantage is that I pay attention. My advantage is that I put the work in and the effort in. And then on the other side of the coin, my disadvantage is that I've seen my body. I've seen how it works. I've recognized that, like, I am at a disadvantage when it comes to sports. I have to do more. I have to work more to even reach the same levels of skill that a lot of cis women can jump into. A lot of cis athletes, period, can jump into. You know, it's funny that they come at us with all these claims, but ultimately, trans people have to try harder, and that's the bottom line. I can't even get trans people in the door. Like I said, I can't even get us in the door. So what makes you think that I can get them on a platform and send them international, right? I can't even get trans people to think about the word sports or gym or lifting or anything. I can't even, the trans people have laughed in my face when I'm like, do you want to come work out with me? And that's the reality of it, is that, like, if there was going to be a surge in trans domination, quote unquote, it would have happened already. It would have happened already, because we would have won a long time ago, and we haven't, and we aren't going to. And regardless, if a trans woman goes and wins, guess what? In 2 months, that medal is going to be on somebody else's neck, and it's probably going to be a cis person's.
And that's how sports work.
Yeah, that's how sports work. That's literally how sports work. The record is going to go under a name for a little bit, and then it gets broken again. And it's probably going to be a cis person breaking it regardless. I think that just happened to Leah Thomas anyways, right?
Leah didn't break any records.
Did she not?
She didn't break any national records, any, you know, meet records at NCAA. She didn't break an American record. Everybody was panicking about all the records she broke, and she broke one record at an invitational in mid-season at a pool that is not considered particularly fast. So it wasn't like, even exactly. There, right? More lies, exactly. And more propaganda. But you're so right, though. Like, turnover in sports, other records being set, somebody beating somebody else, somebody taking a spot from somebody else. That's literally how sports work. That's the point.
That's sports. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
All right, Angel, for the last sort of bit of this, I know I said last bit, but I have one last bit, which is, I'm curious, for the trans kid who's listening, or for just the new athlete, doesn't have to be a trans kid. Let's hope the trans kid is also a new athlete or an athlete at all. What would you say to those kids just starting out sports, just figuring themselves out, just learning about who they are, inspired by your story? What would you want those kids to know, trans or not?
Find your anchor. Find your thing. Find that one thing that you know you can train and be good at. Find that one thing that when you walk into the gym and you can say, this is my skill. This is what I do. This is what I want to be known for. This is what I want to be good at. Focus on that and say that no matter what else happens in your life, whether you're transitioning or whether you're just going through a dark time in your life, you can come back to that one thing and be good at it. And that's going to anchor you. It's going to keep you. It's going to keep you here. It's going to keep you going. And it's going to keep you motivated. And as long as you can keep coming in and keep getting better every single day, keep trying your best. And ultimately, that's the goal, is to try your best every single day. You're going to reach your goals regardless of who you are. Find that thing. Find it. Go find it. Go spend time. Spend time doing what you love. And the more you do it, the more you love it. And if you don't, then find something else and keep going. Keep going. Just keep going.
I love that, Angel. Thank you so much. Find your anchor. And if it shifts, that's okay. You can find a new one. Thank you so much for your time, Angel. I really appreciated this conversation. Thank you for your response to the even difficult moments and the sharing of your difficult moments. I'm so grateful for the fact that you've put your joy out in the world for all of us to see. And And for all of us, you said, you know, when you first began transitioning, you saw that bright orange flower and it was brighter than it had been and it stayed brighter. I think that the world is brighter with you in it. And I think the world is brighter with us trans folks in it. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, thank you, friend. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting me rant about things that I love ranting about for a little while. And I do enjoy talking to you.
Ditto. I'm so grateful for you. Angel, where can people find you? Are there any exciting projects upcoming you want people to know about or any, you know, any other things you want to say you want to make sure that listeners can see?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll plug myself real quick. Please. As always, you can find me on Instagram primarily at Archangel Joy. I've been posting a myriad of different content recently, and my newest project is going to be on my own deadlift. I'm going to be attempting to pull 500 pounds at the Pullapalooza down at Rain City Fit this June in celebration of Pride. I will become the trans deadlift queen. I'm not going to lie. and outside of that, I've been streaming on Twitch a lot lately. So twitch.tv/archangeljoy. You can not only come hang out with me and ask me questions about my life and, you know, pick my brain about more things, but also just enjoy a little community that we've been building down there. So
it is a joy to have you. Like I said, thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do.
No, thank you so much.
I'm so glad Angel was able to join us for that wonderful conversation and give us so much of her heart, her experience, her vulnerability. Let's get right to the episode's question. Must trans athletes choose between their identities and their sports? The short answer is unfortunately yes. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we choose between who we are, who we know ourselves to be, and then what sports we're allowed to join, what teams we're allowed to be a part of, what activities we can do. A lot of times, trans people do have to choose between authenticity and doing the things that we love to do. But we should not have to. And that's the world that me and Angel and so many others are fighting for, a world in which nobody has to choose between their identities and what they love to do. Our passions and identities should be able to coexist and help us thrive. Because as Angel and I talked about, that is what happens. If we can be all of who we are and do all the things that we love to do, we can thrive. And that's the world that's worth fighting for. I hope you'll join us. See you next week on Dear Skylar.